Y'all, I'm excited today. I'm so excited. I'm naturally excited for the most part, but today it feels different. I feel a little more excited because there's so much going on, y'all. It's so much going on, but look where we get to sit. Woo-wee. We get to sit right here. Y'all get to stare at my pretty face and be blessed. I want to give honor to God, our great, our powerful, our awesome, our mighty, mighty God, our saving God. He is good. He is good, our loving God. I want to thank my amazing husband who made sure I got the house on time today. Give it up for that man, y'all. Give it up for him. That's a blessing. He a blessing. I get to work with him, not just in life, but also with the teens. And I'm telling you, it's something about having an amazing, strong man of God for these young people to see. It's a blessing. I'm proud to say that. I'm confident in that. I also want to thank Lisa. She's one of the praise dancers. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for committing your time to our teens. I appreciate you. For Shay, for cooking, where are you? Thank you. Thank you. I wrote my mom into cooking too, so God bless her. Thank you, Mom, wherever you are. There she is. I'm excited about that. You guys, serve, period. I'm going to just leave it at that. If you're not, serve. We need you. Our kids need you. Serve. You're put on this earth to serve, so I encourage you to do it. If you want to find out how you can do that, you can ask me. You can call the office. There are so many ways that we can serve, if we can give our time. God has given so much to us, y'all. We're not asking for much. Sometimes we are. I'm not even going to blah. We be asking for a lot, but these kids deserve it. God deserves it. Amen. You give all the time to your job, to everything else. Give it to God. Give some of that time back. That's not what my message is about today, but I just had to put that in there. All right? So I'm excited because we've been talking about love all month. And today we're going to talk a little bit about love languages. And more specifically, how it relates to the parents and child relationship. And I want to just give a shout out to all the parents. We love you. If you're a spiritual parent, biological parent, if you're an awesome auntie like myself, or awesome uncle, youth leader, whatever you are, parents, we thank you, we honor you, we love you. God has given me so many spiritual parents because it takes a village, and I'm a handful, so thank God for all of y'all. I want to thank my in-laws for being here, my in-loves, I call them. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for raising an amazing man and letting me marry him. I love y'all. To my mother, thank you for being here. I love you. You're amazing. And y'all, the other parents, we love you. We honor you. So God has placed me and my husband in an amazing position, and he helped me understand my assignment as a youth ministry leader. And he kind of made it clear to me. He said, Marsha, you know, you're in a great position because you're just old enough to have gone through some stuff, to have a little bit of wisdom, and to kind of understand adults and their responsibility as parents. So you're just old enough for that. But then you're also just young enough and cool enough to still be able to relate and understand the teens. And so I said, man, God, thank you. Because on the days I feel old, I can be thankful that I got a little bit of wisdom. And on the days when I'm feeling young, I'm like, okay, God, I can roll with these kids. So we're in an amazing position. And I'm excited about it because this position allows me to be sort of an intermediary between the parents and the kids. Y'all with me? So this assignment that God has placed me in, I'm grateful for it. And parents, you can't be mad at me when the assignment that God has given me addresses y'all, because I'm just on assignment. I'm just an intermediary, okay? So, you know, take it up with God. Not, I love y'all. I love these kids. So I'm just an intermediary, all right? All right. And the privilege of being an intermediary and having a relationship with the kids is that we get to have conversations. We get to talk about things that they may not feel as comfortable or open to talking to parents about, right? Y'all always kids. Y'all don't talk to your parents about every single thing. It was always nice having somebody that you can go to that's not going to steer them astray, so they can be able to open up with, right? Amen? So I get the opportunity to do that. So today I get to be an intermediary. And in this role, right, y'all gonna be nice to me. And I'm just gonna share that I'm giving some secrets out. So just work with me here. So Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, open up your Bibles with me. All of y'all already know the scripture, I'm sure, because y'all made us learn it in Sunday school. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All the parents are like, amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that's Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. That was drilled in us from Sunday school, and we thought, like, okay, that's where that scripture ends, period, right? But it wasn't until I was older, and I began to read the Bible for myself, and I found verse 4. And I used to think that when I found it, I was like, this is like a secret weapon. Like, for when parents are being mean, or when they, like, got me mad, and I'm like, this is a secret weapon, right? Y'all already know what verse 4 is. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All the parents like, I'm not sending my kid to youth group because she's giving out the secrets. They should not know about that scripture. Right? Because now it gives parents a responsibility on top of all the others, we acknowledge, but it gives them a biblical responsibility. Right? And don't worry, I drill into the kids, Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. I got y'all on that. Don't worry, parents. I got you. They know that one. And it was when I found out that about verse 4, it kind of made me think, like, man, God, okay, you got kids back in this Bible. Like, it's not just, you know, for the parents and how them giving us instruction, but you always also show up for kids and protect kids and the parents' role in kids' life. Amen? So I'm excited about learning that and sharing, going a little bit deeper into that scripture today, because it's going to be good at the end of the day, right? We're going to leave here, and we're going to know Ephesians 6, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and everyone's going to leave here with new responsibilities, right? And your family's going to be blessed for it. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for being the God of miracles. I thank you for being the God of salvation. I thank you for being the God of love. Lord God, I thank you for being the God of guidance and just nurturing us and loving us no matter what. Lord God, I thank you for being a healer, Lord God, and a provider and a protector to us, your children, Lord God. Thank you for choosing to love us the way you do. That unconditional, almighty love, Lord God, unmerited. There's nothing we can do, Lord God, that can separate us from your love. And for that, I give you all the honor and glory and thank you for that. Thank you for your son's sacrifice. And I thank you, Lord God, that today we will be blessed by your word. I pray, Lord God, that families are healed today. I pray that parents and children have a harmony and a beautiful relationship that honors you, Lord God, and that goes out and show the world what a God-filled family looks like, Lord God. Use this, Lord God, for your kingdom and for your glory. And I ask all these things in your mighty son, Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to have a good day, y'all. We're going to have a good day. Because usually I come up here, I share, and I give you 3 points. You make notes. You plan to read them later. You don't. I'm just kidding. Y'all do. Y'all read them later. Today we're going to do something a little different. Today we're going to make 3 commitments. Yeah, they're like, oh, man. I like the notes better. No, today we're making commitments, right? And we're going to get through each one of them throughout this message. And I'm excited about these commitments because by the end of this message, you know, you'll have made 3 commitments. And I know the altar is going to be full because y'all all going to be asking God to give you the strength to keep these commitments. And that's okay because there's going to be people up here to pray with you. So that's all right. So are y'all with me today? Committed to making 3 commitments with me? Amen. I'm excited about it. Awesome. All right. So Ephesians 6, 1 through and 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, and it will be well with thee. And you're going to live long on the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What does it mean to nurture? We all have an idea of what that means. I had an idea of what it means, but I didn't think that was enough. So I looked in the dictionary. I looked it up. And the definition to nurture is to feed and protect. And then the other part of the definition is to support and encourage, as during the period of training or development. To support and encourage. Keep that in mind. The next part of that scripture says, "In the an admonition of the Lord." How many of us know the definition of admonition? We always read that scripture and we use our context clues. I know I did. And I said, no, that's not enough. I want to know what the exact definition of admonition is. I'm excited about this. It's a gentle reproof. To reprove or scold, especially, the word especially is actually in the definition, so I didn't add that, especially in a mild and good-willed manner. Old school parents looking like, wait a second. So gentle parenting is like biblical? What? Ah, that was for my sister. That was especially for her. No. So it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that means I have to support and encourage, right? But I also have to discipline in a gentle, mild, and good-willed manner. So we recognize that discipline has to happen, right? We're not arguing that. Never. But we read these scriptures and we're like, okay, I'm supposed to do that. But it's like, how, right? How do I nurture, encourage, and support? How do I discipline them with in a gentle way? How do I, in a mild and goodwill manner, when there's 150 things going on, when they've done the absolute worst? I'll never forget, I was 15, and I crashed my mom's car. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I thought that was going to be the end of my days. I was planning my old bitch. Like, I was ready. I just knew this was it. She happened to be out of town. My brother-in-law, I will still to this day say it was him who turned the wheel into the house. I'm thinking with that story. Crashed into the house. And, oh, my goodness. It was our neighbor's house, not even our house, which is even worse. Crashed into the neighbor's house. I call my mom. I'm boo-hooing. I'm like, Mommy, I'm so sorry. Don't kill me, blah, 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 blah. Like, going in. And I think the grace of God, she happened to be out of town, so I gave her a little time to calm down, to cool out. Because when she got home, I was prepared to die. I just knew this was going to be the end of my day. My mom was from the old school where it was like, I knew I was going to be beat until next week so I could be able to make better decisions. No. So she came home, and she's like, she's chill. And she's like, so what happened? And I'm going like real fast. You know, you talk fast to try to get it all out so you can, like, they don't get all the details. So I get it out, and I'm like, and so she's like, okay, well, you're going to be grounded, and it's probably going to be a while before you get your license. And that was it. And I was like, is this one of those mind tricks? Like, I'm going to beat you later. Like, you know, I'm like thinking, like, that was it. And so I'm sitting in it for a minute. Like, I just knew my day was coming. A reckoning was coming. Never happened. She was chill. Can I tell you that the way she handled that sat with me for years? Because it was one of those things where she never brought it up again. It wasn't a thing. Let me tell you something. I never crashed another car. Because I'm like, if I didn't get beat, because, you know, a whooping only lasts quick. It's over. You're like, oh, I'm done with that. You know, that probably would have been easier. But no, she was chill. She was calm. It was gentle. It was mild. And I never crashed another car again. Okay? Mom, thank you. Because I just knew that was the end. So how she knew how to handle that situation, I don't know. I don't want to know. I'll never know. But the beautiful thing is, and maybe it's because she knew me as a person, I don't know. But I'm grateful that in that discipline, it was a life learning lesson that it doesn't have to be aggressive. It doesn't have to be. The discipline worked in a gentle, mild manner. It worked. Amen? Go with me here. So I'm telling you, the Bible's telling us that we have to nurture and discipline in a mild and goodwill manner. And so we talk about, you know, you get your kids, and if any of you gave birth and got a manual, raise your hand. I didn't think so. I know my mom didn't get one for me. You don't get a manual on your child. You don't get a manual on your second child. You don't get a manual that says, all right, I give you Marsha. Marsha likes pizza. Marsha likes to go to the park. Marsha likes, you know, she's very calm. She's going to be super excited about this. You don't get that manual. So you have to be intentional about learning your child, right? Amen? But that gets tough as they get older. It gets tough. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about today is so that to help you as parents and children understand each other better, understand how to nurture and how to discipline, is by understanding their love languages. How many of us heard of love languages? Quite a few. If you haven't, that's okay, because I'm going to share with you what they are. Right? Love language and why it's important. It's important because different people, God created us all as individuals with different personalities, give and receive love in different ways. We agree? And by learning to recognize these preferences in yourself and in your loved ones, you can learn to identify the root of conflicts, how they want to be loved, and you can connect and grow closer together by understanding your love language. Usually we hear love language and it relates to our spouse, right? But did you know that your child has a personality? There's a way that they like to be, that they receive love, that they receive nurture, that best disciplines them, right? So the five love languages: words of affirmation, which is actions don't always speak louder than words. Sometimes just a compliment, a word of encouragement, which goes back to nurture, right? The definition of nurture is to encourage, right? And on the other side of that, insults, degradation can leave a person whose love language of words of affirmation shattered. Acts of service. In this love language, actions do speak louder than words. Helping them with their homework, saying, let me do that for you, can be life-changing. Serving out of love and not obligation makes them feel loved. On the other side to that, broken commitments, laziness, not you as a person as lazy, but laziness in regard to interaction with them, makes them feel hurt. Physical touch, giving appropriate physical touch. They like hugs, pats on the back, high fives. Timely and appropriate communication breeds warmth, safety, and makes them feel loved. On the other side to that, neglect, physical abuse, can leave that person shattered. Right? My niece, my oldest niece, her love language is physical touch. Like, it's the clearest thing ever. That sweet baby will rub her face up against your face. Like, she just loves, she has to poke you, touch all, she loves physical touch. Not just sit there and let her do it. Gifts, receiving a heartfelt gift. Now, don't mistake gifts as a love language as being materialistic. Because when giving a gift, it's the thoughtfulness that's behind the gift that makes that person feel loved, not the gift itself. It's you took the time, the energy to know them, to gift them something. Amen? Y'all still with me? Are you seeing yourself in any of these? Amen. Your kid, you're seeing what your kid likes and doesn't like? You're seeing them? Last but not least is quality time. Nothing says I love you like full, undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is critical. So that means phone off, TV off. You have my undivided attention. Tell me about your day. Tell me, spend time with that person. On the other side of that, not taking the time, constantly postponing things for them, saying I'm going to do this for you, I'll show it for you, and then not, is damaging. When I think of that, I think about, like, imagine if we was in, like, deep prayer with God and his phone rang and he, like, answered and was like, hold on a second, I hear you praying, but give me just a minute. Like, what if he answered? God, like, that would be crazy. Your kid is no different. How would you feel? Right? Quality time. So on the adverse of all of these things, when the Bible says don't provoke them to wrath, breaking their love language, using their love language against them, it's provoking. A kid is going to be in turmoil. They're not going to know how to respond, right? And it's not that you are intentionally trying to provoke them, but when you don't understand their love language, you probably don't even know you did provoke them and can't understand how to fix it, how to rectify it. Are y'all staying with me, parents? All right. Somebody going to be blessed today? Amen. So when we think about how to nurture them, we know how to nurture them by learning who they are, what makes them feel nurtured, right? No different than you want your spouse to do for you. Amen? One of my favorite quotes is Albert Einstein. He says, "Everyone's a genius, but if you judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree, then we're going to go its whole life thinking it's stupid." And I can't help but think about that same principle applies to love. You spend your whole life loving a child, but not in the way that they feel loved, will they go their whole life thinking you didn't love them? Y'all with me today? Imagine that. So we learn how to nurture, and we think about how our Heavenly Father knows us so well. He knows what we need. He knows each and every one of us and knows how to make us feel loved. Regardless of your love language, you can't tell me that there isn't a passage in the Bible that doesn't meet it. Mine is acts of service through and through. Show up for me, right? Do stuff for me. Make my life a little easier. And I think about when God sent his son to carry a cross for me, for my sins, so I don't have to carry the weight of my burdens. I can never doubt whether or not God loves me. I will never question whether or not God loves me, because not only did God sacrifice his son to carry a cross, I don't even want to carry my groceries in the house, let alone the weight of my own sins. I just told you I crashed a car. That's a heavy, like, I don't want to carry those burdens. I don't want to carry that. But Christ did that for me. And for that, I love him, and I know he loves me. Amen? Think about what God has done for you. When your love language, how he meets that for you. And give him some glory. Amen? So our first commitment number one, repeat after me. I will be intentional about learning my child's love language. I love that y'all committed to that. Amen. Commitment two, I will bring my child up, repeat after me, thank you, and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ooh, y'all making some commitments. I'm proud. This is looking good. So we know the nurture, but let's talk about the admonition of the Lord. I told you earlier that admonition is a gentle reproof, to reprove or scold, especially in a mild and goodwill manner, not cold. So a scripture that comes to mind that complements that is Proverbs 13 and 24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. By the way, that scripture is not about condoning physical abuse, just saying. But that's a scripture that's meant to, that's a whole different message. I'll go into another day. But second scripture that comes to mind that complements that is John 13. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you. Your love for another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That scripture applies to your children. That scripture applies. When he says, "Love one another as I have loved you," that means love your children the same way. So if we are bringing our children up in the admonition of the Lord, and admonition is a gentle discipline, and discipline is about love, y'all still with me? Okay? And we are to love our children as our Heavenly Father loves us, then our discipline towards our children should mirror the way God loves and disciplines us. Amen? Y'all with me? So we are aware that our children need to be disciplined. I'm telling you, it's when I talk to these kids, it's not that they don't want to be disciplined. They know when they're wrong. They know when they've messed up. They know when they have disappointed you. They know that. And so when we discipline them, though, we have to keep in mind that we can't discipline the way we were disciplined. We can't always discipline based on control. God doesn't discipline us for the sake of control. He doesn't need to control us. He didn't discipline out of shame, anger, past trauma. We can't discipline in that way. Because when we're raising up in an admonition of the Lord, which is a goodwill discipline, That is discipline out of love. When God corrects us, he does it out of love. God is not, he doesn't do it out of anger, control, trauma, any of that. It's because he loves us and wants to protect us. That same has to show up when we discipline our kids. So you're probably wondering, how am I supposed to discipline in love? What does that even look like, right? I wasn't disciplined in love. I was never shown that. I have no idea. Don't fret, because our God the Father gives us all the instruction we need, right? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. When you're disciplined, you can be patient, right? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I think about the prodigal son, which brings all this together for me. And we always talk about the younger son and how he went astray, all of that. But I always think about the other son, right? We forget about him a little bit. And the interesting thing about that passage is that, yeah, the father, he had two sons. And when we think about the younger son, how he goes off and squanders his inheritance, and the father, knowing the younger son, he knew he couldn't make him stay because that would just make things worse at home, right? He couldn't have his own way. And because he knew that, he let him go. He gave him room to grow. But he also had another son who stayed by his father's side, did everything the father asked, and didn't ask for anything in return. But the older son was angry when the father celebrated and did all this stuff for the son who just went off and went crazy. And I can't help but wonder, would the older son's response been a little bit different had he felt seen and celebrated for all the time that he stayed by his father's side? I can't help but think about that. And I also can't help but think, would this younger son have stayed away and never come back home had the father treated him differently when he left? I think about the father. When he saw his son coming, he didn't turn his head up. He saw him from afar and welcomed him. He didn't change the locks. He didn't change his number. He did not communicate with him. I'm speaking to somebody today. He was excited that he knew that his son knew he could come back home. And when the father saw that the older son was upset, he went to him. And I just picture it. And the son is lashing out. He's upset. He's like, how could you celebrate him? How could you never thrown a party for me? You've never done anything for me. And the older son is going off. And the father, the Bible says, he said, look, dear son, everything I have is yours. I mean, he was chill. That father could have been like, son, why are you tripping? Your brother's back. Like, go relax. Like, no. He understood that his son was hurt. And he said, look, dear son, everything I have is yours. He could have disciplined and said, go to your room. You're acting crazy. We're having a party. He could have treated him so much different. He could have lashed out back at the son. He could have met that same energy because he's irritable. But he didn't. He said, look, dear son, in a calm, gentle manner, everything I have is yours. So you don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be angry. Amen? So our third and final commitment is this. Love one another the way God loves us. God gives us a very clear definition of love. And as today we've learned about love languages, and we learned about the way God has called us to love, and now you all have made commitments to learn how to nurture your child. You all have made commitments on how to discipline them in love and in the same way that God loves and disciplines us, right? And your last commitment that you made is that you're going to love one another the way God has loved us. That's going to be transferred over to your children. That's going to be transferred over to your spouse. That's going to be translated over to your neighbor. That's going to be translated over to the person that you don't like. That's going to be transferred over to people you don't understand. These love languages are so much bigger than us. It's about how do we love the way God has called us to love. And when we take a moment to get to know the other person, when we could take a moment to know how to love and nurture the other people, then we start to look like God's children. We start to be an example of God's love to a world that has a completely different definition of what love looks like. Amen. Colossians 3 and 13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. The same way you get dressed, like this morning I was getting my outfit together, and I was like, the way I can clothe myself in this fashion, it's the same way. More importantly, I need to clothe myself in love. When I leave the house, I need to make sure that my love is tight. When I leave the house, I need to make sure that my heart is tight. We all go, we checking ourselves out. What are we really putting out into the world? Because clothes, that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, all that is going to fade away. But what will last is the way we love each other. What will last is God's love. So we have to be examples of that. I think about Mother Teresa. She said, if you want to heal the world, go home and love your family. That is a clear definition about what our home, a godly home, looks like. We have to be mindful of that. Everybody hates when their kid go out and embarrass them. I used to be a server, and I see it in the restaurants all the time. Sit down, stop it, all of that. Parents getting mad, right? But you want to be mindful how your child shows out in the world? Love them based on the way they need to be loved. Amen? Amen. Stand on your feet with me. Let us pray. Was somebody blessed today? Hallelujah. I thank God that we're going to leave this place and that families will be healed, lives will be changed, children will be loved. When I think about those beautiful babies up here, they're the next generation. They're next, right? What legacy are they going to leave behind based on the fruits that they bear? Amen? So let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your love and for knowing us so intimately. For knowing how to love us, how to care for us, how to discipline us and correct us in such a loving, fatherly way. I thank you, Father, for the family, the creation of the family that you created, Lord God, that is about loving one another, being there for each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other, Lord God. You made no mistake, Lord God, when you ordained family. So use us, Lord God. Bless the family. I ask that you heal any heartaches in the family. I ask that you bring parents and children together in an understanding and in love, Lord God. And Lord God, I ask that we honor the commitments that we made today, Lord God, so that we can live in perfect harmony with one another. Use us, Lord God, for your kingdom and to be an example to the world of your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that you give us peace, Lord God, in our hearts. Cover us with your blood. Protect us as we leave this place. And I ask all these things in your mighty Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out this month, I encourage you to get to know your child's love language. And if you need help with that, if you need some prayer for that, our ministers will be here on the altar. We're here to pray for you, to pray for your family, to pray for your child. Amen. And if you ever felt unloved, if you've ever felt forgotten, if you've ever felt unseen, if you've ever felt like you've been counted out, if you ever felt like you weren't encouraged, know that God loves you. And if you want to grow that relationship with God, you want to grow that connection with God, all you have to do is accept in your heart. Accept Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior today, and he will always be there for you. You can always go to him as your Father to know him and to love him and to protect you. And if you are looking for a church family, if you're looking for a home, if you're looking to have some bomb friends that can worship like I do, join us here today. We welcome you to Abundant Faith. This is my home. This has been my family for 15 years. And we're here for you today. You can join us in the family room. And lastly, thank you, Father. If you don't have a relationship with your child, if you don't have a relationship with your parent, and you're craving that and you want that, I'm here to tell you that it is not too late. Every day that you have breath in your body, every minute that you have breath in your body, forgiveness and healing can happen. It is not too late. Put your pride aside. And this is to both parent and child. This is not one or the other. Children, put your pride aside. Love your parent. Welcome them. They're trying. And parents, so is your child. Get to know them. Love on them. And understand that it is not too late.